Today is the 30th day of July. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is a joy. It is a privilege. And I am deeply grateful to be here with you today. I am hoping that you are doing well. How are you doing? I'm glad that we can be here together and get cozy around the global campfire and take another step fresh forward and into the journey that is the Bible, which becomes the journey of our own hearts. So this journey has us navigating through the book of 2 Chronicles at this point. Today, we will read chapters 26, 27, and 28. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in place of his father Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his ancestors. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He went to war against the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gur-Baal and against the Munites. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle of the wall, and he fortified them. He also built towers in the wilderness and dug many cisterns because he had much livestock in the foothills and in the plain. He had people working his fields and vineyards in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Uzziah had a well-trained army ready to go out by divisions according to their numbers as mustered by Jael, the secretary. And Maaseiah, the officer under the direction of Hananiah, one of the royal officials. The total number of family leaders over the fighting men was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 men, trained for war, a powerful force to support the king against his enemies. Uzziah provided shields, spears, helmets, coats of armor, bows, and sling stones for the entire army. In Jerusalem, he made devices invented for use on the towers and on the corner defenses so that soldiers could shoot arrows and hurl large stones from the walls. His fame spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. But after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him in. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, the descendants of Aaron, who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord God. Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry. While he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the chief priest and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead, so they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous and banned from the temple of the Lord. Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. The other events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. Uzziah rested with his ancestors and was buried near them in a cemetery that belonged to the kings, for people said he had leprosy, and Jotham, his son, succeeded him as king. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha, daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. Jotham rebuilt the upper gate of the temple of the Lord and did extensive work on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the hill country of Judah and forts and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham waged war against the king of the Ammonites and conquered them. That year, the Ammonites paid him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 cores of barley. The Ammonites brought him the same amount also in the second and third years. Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. The other events in Jotham's reign, including all his wars and the other things he did, are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Jotham rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David, and Ahaz, his son, succeeded him as king. Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. Unlike David, his father, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the ways of the kings of Israel and also made idols for worshiping the Baals. He burned sacrifices in the valley of Ben-Hinnom and sacrificed his children in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He offered sacrifices and burned incense at the high places on the hilltops and under every spreading tree. Therefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hands of the king of Aram. The Arameans defeated him and took many of his people as prisoners and brought them to Damascus. He was also given into the hands of the king of Israel, who inflicted heavy casualties on him. In one day, Pekah, son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 soldiers in Judah, because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Zikri, an Ephraimite warrior, killed Maaseiah, the king's son, Ezrikim, the officer in charge of the palace, and Elkanah, second to the king. The men of Israel took captive from their fellow Israelites, who were from Judah, 200,000 wives, sons, and daughters. They also took a great deal of plunder, which they carried back to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord named Oded was there, and he went out to meet the army when it returned to Samaria. He said to them, "Because the Lord, the God of your ancestors, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have slaughtered them in a rage that reaches to heaven. And now you intend to make the men and women of Judah and Jerusalem your slaves. But aren't you also guilty of sins against the Lord your God? Now listen to me. Send back your fellow Israelites you have taken as prisoners, for the Lord's fierce anger rests on you." And some of the leaders in Ephraim, Azariah son of Jehohanan, Berechiah son of Meshilemot, Jehezekiah son of Shallum, and Amasa son of Hadlai, confronted those who were arriving from the war. "You must not bring those prisoners here," they said, "or we will be guilty before the Lord. Do you intend to add to our sin and guilt? For our guilt is already great, and his fierce anger rests on Israel." So the soldiers gave up the prisoners and plunder in the presence of the officials and all the assembly. The men designated by name took the prisoners, and from the plunder they clothed all who were naked. They provided them with clothes and sandals, food and drink and healing balm. All those who were weak they put on donkeys. So they took them back to their fellow Israelites at Jericho, the city of palms, and returned to Samaria. At that time, King Ahaz sent to the kings of Assyria for help. The Edomites had again come and attacked Judah and carried away prisoners, while the Philistines had raided towns in the foothills and in the Negev of Judah. They captured and occupied Beth Shemesh, Aijalon, and Gederot, as well as Soko, Timnah, and Gimzo, with their surrounding villages. The Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had promoted wickedness in Judah and had been most unfaithful to the Lord. Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came to him, but he gave him trouble instead of help. Ahaz took some of the things from the temple of the Lord and from the royal palace and from the officials and presented them to the king of Assyria, but that did not help him. In his time of trouble, King Ahaz became even more unfaithful to the Lord. He offered sacrifices to the gods of Damascus, who had defeated him, for he thought, "Since the gods of the kings of Aram have helped them, I will sacrifice to them so they will help me." But they were his downfall, and the downfall of all Israel. Ahaz gathered together the furnishings from the temple of God and cut them in pieces. He shut the doors of the Lord's temple and set up altars at every street corner in Jerusalem. In every town in Judah, he built high places to burn sacrifices to other gods and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of his ancestors. The other events of his reign and all his ways from beginning to end are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. Ahaz rested with his ancestors and was buried in the city of Jerusalem, but he was not placed in the tombs of the kings of Israel, and Hezekiah his son succeeded him as king. Romans 13. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Proverbs 20:11. Even small children are known by their actions. So is their conduct really pure and upright? Okay, so in the book of Romans today, Paul is continuing to show, as is his gospel, a way of being in the world that would allow us to be successful in our humanity as image bearers of God in a practical and effective way. And as with the entire Bible, this kind of life that we seek, that we are going for, like we are trying to figure out, boils down to one thing as its primary thing: love. So Paul says, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. I mean, I guess that goes to anything. If you love your spouse, you will fulfill the vows that are the requirements of your marriage. If you bring the love of God into your workplace, then respect, mutual respect, and dialogue are present. The same if we love those that are in our church community. We're not waging war of superiority or theological knowledge. We are there for one another's good. So Paul says, the commandments say, you must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. I mean, we've heard this before. We've heard Jesus say this. We heard this laid out in the times of Moses. Pretty much everybody in the world shares the knowledge that, like, love is the base note for anything good. But have we ever considered how powerful of a weapon love is? How powerful of a force against darkness love actually is? Because love is in the light and is the light. When we are loving, when we love, we are bringing light and making God's kingdom visible in the world and revealing His glory through our lives as living sacrifices, which we were just reading about yesterday. Paul understood this and is bringing this all up to the surface. And his words are urgent. In fact, he says it. I quote, "This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. You know time is running out. Wake up, open your eyes. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first started this, than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here." So according to Paul, we begin to truly live in love when we wake up to the fact that we no longer need to live any other way. All of the behaviors that prohibit us from living in love, they need to be disregarded. They need to be thrown away like they're filthy clothes, worn out. In other words, we need to take off of ourselves what is filthy and get rid of it, because it's making us dirty. It's degrading us. And instead, clothe ourselves in love. Paul says, because we belong to the day, we have to live decent lives that everybody can see. And then, as far as filthy clothing, Paul gives some examples of what we need to take off: being wild, partying wild, drunkenness, sexual immorality and promiscuity, immorality, immoral living. Like, we know this. We know it intuitively. We also know it, like, if we've been around the faith at all, these are like the A-list sins. But man, we seem to think that the A-list sins seem to revolve around sexuality alone. In the A-list that Paul gives, he also includes quarreling and jealousy. Envy. Those are A-listers. We need to think about this for a second. For Paul, quarreling and jealousy are in the same league as sexual immorality and drunkenness. And why? Like, why would that be? None of those things, those selfish things, can be done in love. Right? You cannot commit adultery in love. You cannot murder in love. You cannot steal in love. You cannot envy or covet in love. It's just the opposite. So Paul is saying you also cannot quarrel or be jealous in love. So that truth invites us to think about what else we may be involved in our lives that cannot be done in love. And in identifying those behaviors and those reaches, those are the things that need to be taken off and thrown away as if they were filthy clothing. If we're buying into what Paul is selling, right? Like, if we want to reflect the glory of the Lord on the earth as children of God, Paul says, like, instead clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus. Don't let yourself think about ways that you could indulge your evil desires. So fundamentally, and as with all of these things that we talk about, we get it, we hear it, it sounds great on paper. Living it out practically, like actually living it out day to day, is a living sacrifice. Loving and living by the rule of love and taking off the things that are filthy so that we can be lights and reveal God's kingdom and God's glory is going to take some discipline. But when that becomes what is primary, what is most important, that everything else does snap naturally into place if we will live our lives from a place of love and not jealousy and not envy and not self-preservation and not covetousness and not sexual immorality and not reaching in places that we do not belong in love. If we're going to reorient ourselves and actually become like Christ, and that's a big tall thing, like Christ on this earth, Christ-like on this earth, then it will mean that we absolutely must learn how to live in love and take away and take off and discard anything that cannot be done in love. Anything that would prohibit that. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that because we may be wearing some really fine spiritual garments of love, but we have a lot of tattered things that we're trying to also wear that cannot be done in love. We invite you to bring the light of truth in. We open our hearts, and this is one of those times where we say nothing is off limits to you. What's in the basement is not off limits to you. What's in the closet is not off limits to you. What's hidden under the rugs are not off limits to you. What's in the attic is not off limits to you. We need you in those places. We need to get what's filthy off of us. It's degrading. It's degrading to your glory and all that we represent, but it's degrading to our glory as we reflect your glory. Come, Holy Spirit, reveal these things. Lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home bases. These are where to get connected, be connected, stay connected to the journey that we are on. We are continuing to build that out for a brand new experience coming as soon as we can. Looking forward to that. But these are home bases where you can find out what's going on around here. And so please do. It's our 20th year. Obviously, we are celebrating our 20th end of July. And just reminding you that We have released some music that is a part of the 20th year celebration, as Jill and I have been reflecting and sharing kind of our lives and some of our story, because we're still pretty well flattened by the fact that this has been going on every single day for 20 years. And it's monumental, but it's like that's a long section of life. And we had to transition into this quickly. It was a bit of a phenomenon. And so, it is the longest running daily program podcast in history. And there has been content. I don't know if I like to, I mean, that's just the jargon. I think we've shown up here every day. Read the scriptures every single day, 7 days a week for these 20 years. And there is nothing else like it. And so it's just gone by, and we've had all of these whirlwind ups and downs and roller coaster rides trying to figure it all out. So we've been sharing some of our story and sharing some of it through our music, because that's who we were before the tsunami washed in, and the calling of God kind of washed away all of our kingdom plans for our own benefit in our own kingdom. And we had to learn to let go of all kinds of things, all kinds of dreams, to be obedient to a very unique calling of always showing up, rain or shine, sickness or health, right? Until death do we part, we just can continue this journey together around the global campfire. So we've been sharing some of our story through music. Jill has a song called I Found Grace, and we shared all about that. Ezekiel, our son who just turned into a teenager, we caught him, like his voice has changed and it happened quickly, and so we caught him just before that happened, and he sang a song called When the Bow Breaks. And then I released a song of unconditional love, a song that goes way back into Jill and my early story before we got married, and that is called Love Will Not Care. And those can be streamed wherever, whatever platform you use to get music, you can find those. There's music videos for each of those. So put those on your playlist. Keep them spinning and streaming and being a part of your journey and encouragement in your life. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. And thank you. Truly thank you humbly for your partnership. It's we're navigating the summertime, and so thank you for your continued partnership and keeping the global campfire burning and moving. It's with deep gratitude. If you prefer the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning. I just want to respond to a prayer request from a mom who called in and said her son had just left, that he wasn't following the Lord, doesn't believe in God, and their relationship is strained, and she's worried that something bad will happen and that their relationship is broken. And so we lift this family up. Lord, we know that you desire reconciliation. You desire unity among family members. The family unit is the closest ties that we can have besides marriage and besides our relationship with you. So they're very special. And a mother's love for her kids is goes beyond description. So I can imagine what she's feeling, the distress that she's feeling and the sadness and the fear. So Lord, we pray that you give her peace, that you let her know you're in control, and just allow her to continue to seek you and pray for her son. And we pray for her son, I don't think she left his name, that he would be safe, that you would meet him where he's at, that even though he might not be asking because he doesn't believe in you, he might be leaning on his own ability, his own knowledge. We pray that you give him wisdom. Open doors for him, open doors to experiences that he might not have had before, that show the world in a different light and show you in a different way. In your son's name I pray, amen.
This is in response to the prayer recording on the 25th from the mama who called, who's been listening for 20 years and was so concerned about her son. And so I'm just going to pray for you, friend. I've been exactly where you are. You're not alone. Father, we lift this sweet mama up to you and ask that you bring her comfort, that you protect her son. Will you meet her in these moments where she's feeling this weight, this heaviness in her heart? And will you bring your hands alongside to hold that weight? Because you feel that feeling for each one of us when we walk away. Give her strength to push through these days, to keep believing, to have hope. She's in a war with hope right now because it feels silly sometimes to hope when we see something so different happening in front of us. So I ask that you give her strength to win that war, to continue to hope, to believe in your plan. That what you want for her son is what she wants for her son, which is to be yours. So we place him in your hands, and we trust that your hands are so big, that they're so capable, that your hands made him and they know exactly what he needs to come back to you. Thank you for what you're doing in his life. Thank you for the trust that you're growing in his mom. We lift this family up to you in Jesus' name. May you bless them and keep them. Amen.
Hi, Dad family. I have a praise report and two prayer needs, please. First of all, I had put 35-year-old Steve on the prayer wall about 4 weeks ago. He was helping a friend move a jungle gym in a pickup truck. He was holding the jungle gym. Unfortunately, they hit a bump. He fell out and landed on his head and his neck, and he was in the ICU for a week in a coma that was not induced. Didn't look good, and they weren't sure what damage to his brain or neck could have happened. Well, thanks for praying, family, because he got out of the hospital 2 weeks ago. He woke up from the coma. He is back home with his wife and his three little baby girls, ages 3, 2, and 1, and he's back to work. What an amazing God we serve. Now I'd like to add another neighbor. His name is Bill. He's in his 50s. He has been suffering from severe Lyme's disease for a number of years, and now he's contracted meningitis. He's really, really, really struggling, so please pray for Bill. And I'd also like you to please pray for my sister, Carol. She is 59. 10 years ago, she survived stage 1 colon cancer. She was only 49 and her regular screening caught it. She went to the hospital presenting with pain. They thought it was kidney stones, which it was, but they also found an abnormal lesion on her kidney. So, Dad family, please pray for my sister, Carol. We pray that it's nothing serious, and we're hoping that you will join us in praying for her as well. Thank you. Love you all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Hi, my beautiful Dab fam. It is Asia from La Ciudad de Los Angeles calling in on July 24th for our Dabbers. Joshua called in, mom called in requesting prayers for Joshua, 28-year-old son that just has major anxiety from so much excessive loss. As mom was describing everything he's going through, job loss, girlfriend loss, car getting blown up, denied insurance for his anxiety medication. She doesn't know what else to do. So she did accordingly to God's word, and she petitioned prayer from the righteous. So we're going to lift Joshua up. And then Stephen called in regarding his dad. His dad has major heart issues, and his dad needs God's miracle. And Stephen just said so lovingly how he sees God's miracles all around him all the time, and really opened our eyes up to God's miracles and us bearing witness to them. Father God, we lift up Joshua and Stephen up to your throne of grace and mercy, God, because you are the Almighty God, El Shaddai. You are Adonai, our master. We are the sheep of your pasture, the people of your hand, Father God. And Lord, we just pray that you will give Joshua some reprieve from this, Lord. And you tell us to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith builds patience, and patience builds endurance, endurance builds character, and character does not deny hope. Hope in you, God. So we pray that this hope can, and to our prayers, can be answered, and you can give Joshua some release from this anxiety and really bless him in this season. Help him, Father God, and restore him in every way possible, Lord, more than we could ever imagine. And we lift up Stephen's dad to you, Father. We're requesting a miracle for his heart, Lord. Heal him in the blessed, beautiful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. To him be the glory. Amen.